Siren Audio Studios proudly presents Symptoms of Death, written by Paula Paul and performed by Jessica Osborne. Author's dedication for Linda, my beautiful daughter-in-law. Chapter 1. The dinner party was singularly unremarkable until the lunatic arrived. And then it was not the lunatic whom Nicholas Forsyth remembered so much as the woman who had been at the other end of the table. She was the one who stopped the poor demented creature and saved them all from whatever it is lunatics do when they burst into a dining room screaming and waving a machete. Mass murder? Until that unfortunate incident, Nicholas had paid little more attention to the woman at the end of the long table than he had the white linen that covered the table, or the gleaming silver with which he brought the rare roast beef to his mouth. He had only a vague memory of having been introduced to her by Edward Boswick, 5th Earl of Dunsford, his host. He had made the introduction earlier when she first arrived at Montmarsh, the Earl's country estate. The memory was of rose-coloured silk and a bit of décolletage. Not particularly remarkable décolletage at that, if his memory served him. The dinner had progressed beyond the roast beef to pudding and cheese, and Nicholas was amusing himself in a bit of flirtatious conversation with Mrs. Isabel Atwater, his arm resting on the back of her chair and dangerously close to her bare shoulder. He had just moved his forefinger close enough to caress the satiny skin of that very inviting shoulder, in a manner discreet enough that her husband Jeremy Atwater would not notice. That is precisely when the crazy woman burst into the dining room. Her hair was loose and flying wildly about her head, her eyes bright with passion. She carried a long knife in her right hand and waved it carelessly, crying,
"You won't get by with it, you won't. I see to it myself. And you bloody well watch yourselves, all you swells.
Come back here, girl. Come back here, I say. For God's sake, girl."
It was the cook calling out to the lunatic while she stood in the doorway that led to the kitchens. The cook wrung her hands in the voluminous brown muslin skirt that covered her more than ample hips. Behind her was a bevy of servants looking over her shoulder, mouths agape and eyes stunned. Cook would not enter the dining room, however. Instead, she turned away, her face buried in her hands while the madwoman wreaked havoc in the dining room.
"'Tis your fault! 'Tis so!"
The lunatic woman pointed the long knife at Edward, the host, before she swung it in an arc to indicate the entire table, and then turned back to Edward.
"I'll kill you, Lord Dunsford, you bloody knob, and all your bloody nobby friends. I'll kill you for what you done to Georgie. And none of your bloody money nor your bloody houses here in Essex nor in London will save you,"
she screamed. She swung the blade again, well off her mark, but narrowly missing the top of Jeremy Atwater's head. In the same instant, Nicholas sprang to his feet and held the madwoman's arms, restraining her. The lunatic, whom Nicholas now realized was nothing more than a girl, struggled mightily.
"Get
sample complete. Ready to continue?"